Hey, thank you to Helix for sponsoring this podcast. Adam has had his Helix mattress for almost a year now, and he's loving it. It's actually hard to get him up. In fact, he won't stop talking about it. You'll understand what we mean when he goes into detail. Thank you for the detail, Adam, later on the episode. But for now, we want to tell our listeners about a special deal going on. Our Sleepy Time Pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and, as if that's not enough, two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula. That's helixsleep.com/Paula. This is their best offer yet, and I'll bet it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
The detective came and knocked on the door, and I said, "Is it Renee?" And he just gave me that solemn look.
It was the worst day ever.
The Proof Podcast is back with a new case and a new season. 23 years ago, 18-year-old Renee Ramos went missing. Her body was later found in an empty Home Depot building on the edge of town.
I don't think that they arrested the right people. It's about time somebody's trying to do something.
She had a black eye about 2 weeks before she was murdered.
They are involved. They definitely had her body and her backpack.
You know people are going to judge you, right?
Of course. They're judging me now. They've been judging me damn near my whole life.
You can listen now to Season 2 of Proof, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow along with us as we reinvestigate the murder at the warehouse.
I have to ask, did you kill Renee?
Coming to you live from the Ray Horseman Studio in North Hollywood, California, it's Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. Tonight, the average American spends more money on her car than on healthcare, education, and even food. So, you pull up to a party, get out of your car, and hand the keys to a total stranger? You give that anonymous guy in the black vest and white shirt the same amount of trust you give a physician, but without seeing the parking diploma. Valet Parkers, unsung heroes of the road. Tonight on Career Corner, Lenny Tim from Vantage Parking tells Paula if she has what it takes to be a valet parker. And I'm sitting across from a woman dressed in a wetsuit. She's going on vacation in Massachusetts, and she'll tell us why she's wearing a foam neoprene garment. It's not a fashion choice. I'm Adam Felber, the man who tries to take the keys to this show's conversational vehicle and park us between the topical lines. And now, please welcome the woman who perpetually parallel parks her conversations on the perpendicular, Paula Poundstone!
Thank you so much. Boy, you are sweating from that intro.
That was a workout.
Yeah, that was unbelievable.
An oral workout. Now, that might tie a record for alliteration. Welcome, Paula, and thank you to tonight's house band, pianist Ryan Wyman. Am I pronouncing that right?
Right.
All right. Ryan Wyman, welcome. And that was a beautiful little intro.
It was. Thank you.
Is that a composition of your own?
As of right now.
You made it up right there on the spot. That's fantastic. Paula, you're wearing a wetsuit. Tell me why.
I'm going to Massachusetts where there are sharks. And I decided, I happened to be in a sports store and I saw the wetsuit and I thought, you know, at least there'll be like one more layer that the shark has to get through.
Well, no, that's not dumb because when I got my scuba certification, one thing I was told when I was trained about the sharks that will bite you and the ones that won't.
Is thrust your wetsuit at them?
Yes. No, what I was told was they hate... Like neoprene tastes terrible. They hate wetsuits.
Oh,
so like you might look like a
that.
Seal, but you don't smell like a seal, and you certainly don't taste like one.
Yeah. No, that's exactly. And by the way, I also, you know, I just read Unbroken, the book about Louis Zamperini, the World War II hero.
Yeah.
Well, he a movie came out a few years ago. The movie. Don't bother with the movie. The book. The book, Laura Hildebrand. Okay.
Are there Nazi zombies in it?
No, it's a real story. It's a true story.
So are some Nazi zombie stories.
She just told it really, really well. Okay. But it's an amazing story of a World War II hero. He was a prisoner of war, which I know Trump thinks makes him a loser because he likes the ones, you know, that didn't
get
caught.
Yeah.
He was in a fighter pilot crew,
okay.
And they got shot down. He was also an Olympic runner,
okay,
but they got shot down over the Pacific, and ended up three guys in two of those inflatable rubber rafts.
Yeah.
And I think it was like a coincidence that he had not long before that seen some sort of a training film, I believe voluntarily, about how to deal with sharks. And okay. So he happened to know that you punch them in the snout. They don't like to be hit in the snout.
Yeah,
so,
I heard that on TV once.
Yeah. Well, I think this is a while before that. This is a long time. This
yeah,
would
the
be
television
World War
wasn't
II.
Widely, yeah.
Yeah, you weren't alive during World War II.
By the way, that book's title is a massive spoiler, isn't
you
it?
You didn't tell...
because
Louis
I'm broken,
Zamperini.
I already know what's going to happen.
You didn't tell Lou Zamperini about the shark thing.
Had I had the chance, I would have. I would have been like, I was watching Mr. Rogers, and Mr. Rogers said, punch him in the snout.
You weren't alive yet.
You got to punch him in the
you
snout,
you were not alive. So anyway,
when there's a shark coming at you.
Boy, they were fools to go with Tom Hanks. while they were in the lifeboats, these three guys, they were strafed by Japanese gunfire, and they were trying to patch their holes while there were sharks jumping in and over their boats. And because of Louis Zamperini's perhaps serendipitous shark training, one of them was drying the area so they could put the patch on the hole, and the other guy's job was to whack the shark with or in the snout because they don't like that.
Well, yeah. Well, I imagine they don't like any whacking with an oar, but the snout actually repels them, right?
I can't speak to all the feelings of a shark.
We told this story because you're going to Massachusetts.
Yes, exactly. And so I'm trying to, so I'm reviewing my technique.
Right.
In fact, right here in my wetsuit, you'll see I have a paddle. Do you know what that's for?
Snout whacking.
Precisely. You know, because I'll tell you something, North Hollywood isn't so safe either.
Yeah, no. There could be any number of sharks on Miranda Street, given the tide tables and stuff. But I do want to point out that you're going to the North Shore of Massachusetts.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. They just recently had a tornado. Do you see what I'm saying? There's no predicting.
So you're worried about a sharknado now?
Well, the sharks could have been sucked up from the tornado and dropped on the North Shore.
Essentially the plot of Sharknado.
I never saw Sharknado. And I
you
didn't,
could kind of put it together from the title, couldn't you?
And I didn't.
Much like Unbroken.
And I didn't really like The Big Lebowski. So
let's not even.
Yeah.
I didn't like Les Mis.
Yeah. Oh man, that was a deep cut.
Wait till I cut loose on Mary Poppins.
Medic.
All right. Well, Paula, speaking of wild creatures, our listeners should know that there's a camel in the studio this week.
You know, ever since we had the zookeeper guy,
that naturalist,
who brought the animals with him, Anthony, our engineer, has been bringing animals to the studio, and we really don't know where he gets them.
Right.
This week he brought a camel. And it's already eaten some of our Hawaiian chip snacks, and it looks like he's chewing his cud. Anthony, do camels chew cud?
Yes, actually. Camels are ruminants.
And ruminants.
That's an animal that sits quietly in its room thinking.
That is not the case.
No, that's
Anthony,
that's not
what are ruminants?
Well, ruminants are mammals that are basically able to acquire nutrients from plant-based food, which they do by fermenting it in this specialized stomach that they have that's actually prior to regular digestion.
So wait a minute. So it ate my Hawaiian chips,
it ate your
swallowed
Hawaiian chips.
Them,
right,
and then brought them back up again for a food encore?
It's got a specialized stomach for fermenting, and then once it's fermented,
I believe that's what Anthony just said.
Right, exactly, that's what it's doing.
Well, then wouldn't a simple yes have been correct?
Yes.
Thank you. You know what? It is looking at me right now like it knows that I used to have a camel hair coat. And let me just point out that I don't think it was made with real camel hair. And you can eat these chips and swallow them. There's more.
That's good advice to the camel. They do spit, too, so you're going to want to watch out for that.
That's why I have this wetsuit on right now. That's part of the reason for my wetsuit.
Well, Anthony, thank you so much for sharing your wide knowledge of animals with us.
Of course.
I wonder how they feel about being whacked with an oar in the snout.
That you might have to oar the camel at some point.
If it comes at me with that cud.
It's a play I was in college called Oar the Camel.
Is that true?
No. Speaking of hotel soap, though, Paula, how was traveling around the country this week?
It was great. I was on a train. You know I love trains.
You're a train gal.
I was on a train.
There are horse gals and there are train gals.
I was trying to go to, I think it wasn't New Haven, Connecticut. I don't know. I was coming from Providence, Rhode Island. I was trying to go to someplace in Connecticut. I can't even remember anymore. What I remember is that, okay, first of all, you know, most people that are on the Amtrak don't seem to have all the luggage that I have.
So, no, because you have an astounding amount of luggage.
I carry 150 pounds.
Yeah, because you feel like you have to travel with, like, the complete DVD set of Breaking Bad and Columbo.
Well, no,
and
yes, I do carry those things, but yes. Also...
most people don't.
I carry an Away luggage bag, actually, with 50 pounds of merchandise in
Away,
it.
Away, one of our sponsors. They make a great, great bag.
It's a great bag. And although I got to tell you, you don't necessarily want wheels that roll that fast on a train, because I have had experiences where it got away from me for a few seconds.
Okay.
But so very...
But this is not that.
So as I get on the train, I have a hard time finding a place for my luggage. And then I'm told, like, I have to sit in a particular, you know, coach. And they make this big announcement about how it's going to be a full train. So please don't have stuff beside. It's a full train. So just go find a seat. So I'm walking down looking for a seat. And everybody has, they have stuff beside them. Not just stuff beside them.
You mean on the seat?
Right. Items on the seat, like a jacket that looks like somebody had just dropped it off their shoulder. Oh. They've set up little tableaus. You know, it's not enough.
So it's sort of a train car, and it's sort of an art installation.
Yes, exactly. Okay. In order to give the impression that someone was sitting there, and so everywhere
it's
I go,
kind of evil.
It is a little bit evil because, like, the train guy yelled at me. He's like, "Just sit anywhere. You're not going to be able to find a seat by yourself." I said, "I'm not even looking for a seat by myself.
I'm looking for a seat without somebody shit on it."
like giving this impression that, like, a soda can maybe sitting on the tray table,
a wig.
But empty. Exactly. Yeah. Everything laid out like they were working on a project and all totally fake. All right. So I finally get a seat and I'm sitting, and this is part of the reason I love the train. I'm sitting across the aisle from a lovely family. They had like two adorable little kids and the two parents, and they were taking, you know, a long train trip. And so really
this feels like that
just to help out. So really just to help out, I start talking to the little kids, you know, just to help entertain them, just to be helpful.
That's very nice of
you. So there's a kid, this one little boy is just adorable. He looks so much like my son when he was little. And so I begin reading aloud to this kid. He was maybe just walking.
Okay.
And he was sort of fascinated by the lady that was talking to him. And his mom was standing right there.
Right.
But I began reading to him from the Mueller report. And
did you really?
I did.
This is a true story.
Yes. I read aloud to the kid from the Mueller report.
Which you'd had printed out?
I bought it. You can buy it in a book form.
Oh, wow.
It's like with Washington Post stuff in there.
Oh, nice. Nice. I have it on my iPad. I've been perusing it.
Yeah. Well, it's very good. And
it's very, very good.
Even the kid was fascinated. And, I mean, he didn't talk all that well, but well enough to say to me, well, there's ample evidence here.
Uh-huh. And, that sounds like a two-year-old.
You know, all right, so you know how you're, like, engaged in one thing, and then, like, a part of your brain seems to see something else that you don't really review? You, like, put it in storage, and later you go, what was that thing I saw while I was doing the other thing?
Yes, that happens to me.
So I'm reading aloud to the kid, and people around me are sort of laughing. And then later I'm like, what was that thing that happened while I was reading? And I remember, oh, the train stopped, and some people got on. I remember. And then I realized that was my stop. So I missed my stop because I was reading aloud to a kid from the Mueller report. And I was like, well, so the conductor came over and said, okay, we'll just get off the next stop, get back on the other train. It was 2.5 hours until the next stop, which was good in a way because I was able to talk to the kids some more. And I told
him. I'm sure the family was grateful.
Very, very grateful. And I told him about Mama Liga.
Did he really?
The new Broadway musical based on Moldova and ABBA songs.
That's great. I'm Mama not Liga. Sure that's a thing happened. That would be Mamma Mia.
Da 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 da.
Yeah.
No, Mamma Liga. It's from
Moldova. So they're
making
a new one.
They are.
Because they're a Scandinavian outfit, but they want to branch out.
Da 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 da.
Mamma Liga.
Yeah.
Well, we did taste Mamma Liga on this show last week.
Yes, we did.
Delicious. Now,
and you look good. So apparently, it sat well with you. You look healthy and refreshed.
As I told you, I'm mildly allergic to corn. If I look healthy and refreshed, it's because I had a swim today, not because I ate Mamma Liga 7 days ago.
Oh, okay, my mistake. Well, I'm no physician, that's for sure.
That's for sure. Now, Paul,
Mama
we have
Liga.
We have an update on the Frontier Communications flip phone contest.
Oh, my gosh. This was such a breakthrough.
I know. All right. They're awarding $1,000 and various other prizes to a contestant who will give up their smartphone for a week and exclusively use a flip phone. You submitted a very compelling essay. You read it to me.
A brilliant essay. It was a brilliant essay.
A clear winner in my book. And producer Tony Anita Hull heard back from them just now. Javier Mendoza, Vice President of Corporate Communication and External Affairs at Frontier Communications.
External Affairs.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what that means.
Not internal.
External Affairs.
Yes, exactly.
It means you leave the office to hook up.
And he sent Tony this message. Quote, "Hi, Tony. Let me check with our team. Maybe Paula can be an honorary challenger or we can discuss what you have in mind."
So, Javier. Javier, exactly.
This is the first time hearing about this.
Javier was giving me the opportunity, with no recompense whatsoever, to give up my smartphone or use only a flip phone for a week. And I always had permission.
How did you not win? Did he say it was over or not, Tony?
No, I think it is over.
They haven't chosen anyone, but they already know that you're an honorary.
Clearly, I'm not the winner. But I love it that Javier felt like if he said, like, oh, I could be. It reminded me of when I was a kid and my older brother and sisters would play Monopoly. And they wouldn't let me play, but they would give me some of the paper money. Like, just to have while they played, as if
I feel like that's what Javier's doing.
That's
here.
Exactly right. As if
you're not
that
getting $1,000.
Yeah, it's not a currency. Yeah. Exactly. That's my feeling.
I don't know, Javier. Maybe you should be dealing with the internal communications because that's a little insulting, isn't it?
It's very insulting.
I
so
know.
Where it says we can discuss what you have in mind, let me tell you what I have in mind, Javier.
Fucking dollars.
Give me my fucking money.
That's what you had in mind when you wrote the essay.
Beautiful essay. Say for you. We've mentioned your contest over and over again on our podcast. You've got nothing but freebies from us. I want my fucking $1,000.
All right, now if you're out there, Javier, if you're out there, Frontier Communications, we now expect that $1,000.
That's exactly right.
And we're
going
to send our muscle, Ben Lezebnik, around to get it if we don't get it from you in small, unmarked bills sent to Miranda Street.
Javier, apparently Tony is so polite and kind and nice.
I know.
That he just didn't feel like saying no. Forget it. We're not doing anything with Paula Poundstone. Instead, well, if Paula would like to, she could certainly not use her smartphone for a week. Yeah. That's fine with us. Thank you, Javier. Yeah.
We give her a participation trophy, but we don't want to spend the money.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully there's a broom company that's going to pay me $1,000 not to use my vacuum for a week.
Frontier Communications, you might want to rein in Javier Mendoza because he sounds like a loose cannon.
Yeah.
And I think it's on.
Yeah.
It's on now.
I've had it. I'll tell you what.
Wow. Nobody does that to my Paula Poundstone.
Yeah. You know what, Javier? You know what I'm doing right now? I'm using a flip phone and I don't need your fucking permission. You know what? I gotta say, apparently the camel works for Frontier Communications
because he's spitting now.
It has given me a really You know, is that spit? I thought I slammed my soda down.
No, that's camel spit.
Oh man, look at that!
You know
that is two times chewed Hawaiian chips. All right, Anthony.
Yeah, but listen,
Anthony,
listen up, Javier.
Back that fucking camel up. That is gross.
Well, listen, this shows some of the reach that we have. I mean, Javier over at Frontier Communications, you don't want to wake up with a camel head in your bed, do you? That could happen. And camel, you listen to double threat.
Wipe that smirk off your face.
We'll do it.
I'll tell you something.
You know,
the humps are fatty deposit, by the way.
Are they?
Yeah. And,
not water storage facilities?
No, they are fatty deposits, the humps on a camel.
Fatty deposits?
They seem so
solid.
They're made of fat. And let me just say.
Surrounded by what? Bone?
They've got nothing on my hips. So just back the fuck up, camel.
Back it off, camel. All right, now, Paula, you've been bringing us vocabulary words. Let's get to that before we get to the other thing.
And this week is no different than any other in that regard,
Adam. What have you brought us?
In the interest of upgrading the value of our podcast that our benefactor, Scott Franciscus, calls a weekly clusterfuck for the soul, I've got a vocabulary word. It's chimerical.
chimerical.
Which is an adjective that, according to my Merriam-Webster dictionary, means fantastic, imaginary, and number two, is inclined to fantastic schemes. Here, I'll use it in a sentence. I refuse to believe that Ivanka melting in jail is a chimerical notion.
Melting in jail?
Yeah. I have this vision of her, like the whole Trump family behind bars and holding the bars like the guy in Monopoly with his little face through him. And
money
she
bags, yeah.
just being so plastic that she just, not in a cruel way.
That's kind of cruel.
Just, no, I mean, I wouldn't want to heat the cell.
Right, but you're imagining her melting in prison.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think that's cruel. That's just...
And I think it is kind of chimerical.
It's natural consequences.
Now, chimerical is based on isn't a chimera like a mythical beast? So that's...
No, that's Pokemon.
I stand corrected.
Maybe you want to tell the listeners what you know about Jigglypuff, Adam.
I actually know more about Jigglypuff than you want to know.
Because yeah, you do.
Because I've got an 11-year-old son. I have to walk around with
blame him. Blame him. Like, he really brought Pokemon into the house.
It
came from you.
How could you say that?
What do you mean? Because he doesn't have a bank account? Your son, right?
We got him things that he asked for his birthday.
You had to have been the person to bring the Pokemon stuff into the house.
I guess, or my wife was. I don't see what you're saying.
Oh, now you're blaming your wife. Uh-huh.
Jesus Christ! You know, I think that Javier over at Frontier was right about you, Poundstone. You're not fit to represent anybody.
I didn't say I would represent Frontier Communications. I said
I think that's part of the idea. You said you'd accept $1,000.
I wanted $1,000. That's exactly what I said. Yeah.
Hey, Paula. You know, every once in a while, we get a new advertiser that I get super excited about. And I have to say, just because of the circumstances of my life, right now, I'm really excited about our new advertiser, Quince, of Quince.com, the clothing provider.
Not to be mistaken for Quince from Midsummer Night's Dream. And let me just say this, and maybe it's not important to an advertisement, but when I was in the fourth grade, our class put on a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
And I played Peter Quince. There's the connection.
One of the mechanicals. That's a great connection. Also, yes, has nothing to do with this, which is that Quince is an online clothing store. And as you know, Paula, I've lost a little weight lately.
Oh, right.
75 pounds. Yeah. So I literally have no clothes that are in my size until I just ordered some stuff at Quince. And I figured, like, here's a chance for me to create a new look for myself. A whole new image.
And how's it going?
Not bad. I mean, the clothes are fantastic. I know that you ordered some, too. What I got is the Comfort Stretch Traveler 5-pocket pants. And I got I got the 100% European linen shirt, and it looks breezy, and it fits beautifully. And these are like premium pieces of clothing that are selling for like, you know, $30 a piece or starting at $30 at Quince.com. It's awesome. I look good.
I ordered the brushed lounge jogger.
Ooh.
And, you know, I put them on when I came back from New York. I pulled them on and I swear to you, okay, this is not scientific because I was tired already.
Right.
But they were so soft and so comfortable that honestly, like right as I got them up to my waist, I think my eyes closed. They're so, it's a softness. It's a kind of softness that I don't think I've ever experienced in a garment, honestly.
You know, my drawstring European linen trousers are a little bit like that, too. Like, so comfortable that I just want to hang out with myself.
Sure. Yeah. And they're European. Keep that in mind.
They are so European. And you can get those kinds. You can get washable silk tops. You can get 14-karat gold jewelry and, like, all these accessories.
Quince sells a lineup of timeless pieces that keep their customers looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm not certain that I look chic, but certainly if I did, it's not going to take a lot of effort.
I now look chic and I feel pretty great. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabric. It's all good as far as I can see.
Is it my imagination or do they cut out the middleman?
They cut out the middleman, Paula Poundstone.
I love it when they cut out the middleman. That's the thing, they cut out the middleman. That's fantastic.
So be like me and Paula. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/nobody for free shipping on your order and a 365-day returns. That's quince.com/nobody to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/nobody. And honestly, I look fantastic. Paula, you won't be able to keep your hands off me.
Oh, I can't wait. And don't think that if you had to return something, don't think you're sending it to a middleman because they cut out the middleman.
They cut out the middleman. That's quince.com/nobody. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, Paula, it's been almost a year now since I got my Helix mattress. And as you remember, there was some drama surrounding Helix mattresses.
Because when Helix first
sponsored us, Bonnie took the mattress and she's been loving it. But finally, I got my chance to get a Helix mattress and I sleep so well. I mean, the family bed is where we all gather. We watch movies in our room occasionally and everybody just piles on it and it's comfy. And yet when one person hops on, the other half of the mattress doesn't fly up. I'm a fan.
Well, you know, Adam, everybody is unique and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And if your spine needs some extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It is the perfect combination of comfort and support.
I agree with that last bit. I don't get all the technical stuff about the mattress, but it is soft and supportive. Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, the award-winning Lux, which I got, and ultra-premium Elite Collections, the Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress, designed for growing bodies and endorsed by child sleep experts, and my daughter now wants one. So, how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? You go to their website, take the Helix sleep quiz, and you find your perfect mattress match in under 2 minutes.
You know, when you said you can't follow all the technical stuff, it's really not that technical. You know, no matter what way you sleep, they have a mattress that will support and comfort you. How hard is that?
You know, when you say it that way, it seems a lot simpler. I take it back. That's my boner.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Well, I like that there's a warranty, but they can pry that mattress from my cold, dead hands. I took the sleep quiz. I was matched with the Helix Midnight Lux. I got the Lux. And I love it. It is such an upgrade from my old mattress.
You know, I think Bonnie got the Midnight Lux.
She did.
Too.
Yeah.
You're not here. Don't want to take Adam's word for it? Well, you got Bonnie's word. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Your sleepy time pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners.
That's a lot, and it's already not that expensive a mattress. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula.
That's helixsleep.com/Paula.
This is their best offer yet. It's fantastic. It won't last long.
With Helix, better sleep starts now. Well, not right now.
And if you're going to get it anyway,
use our code. Adam, you know I have a house full of cats and a couple of big dogs. So I have this one cat who every night likes to stand in the hallway and yowl. And he has kind of a little bit like me because of allergies. I don't know why he has it. But his name is Theo, and he has a really grovelly voice. So he'll... It's hard to describe it. I can't do a good impression. But it's a little dusty, gravelly voice. Okay, so earlier I was laying on the living room floor because I'm exhausted and I'm wearing a nylon fiberfill vest. As I'm laying on the floor, Theo shoves his head through one sleeve of the vest and crawls up and is now stuck inside in between my back and the vest and is yowling because he can't get out. And then finally his head comes out the other sleeve and he goes out. What's not to love? That's what I say. What is not to love?
Which brings me to this. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program.
Your pet is part of your family, you know that already, and you want the best for them no matter what. But vet bills can really add up. Go ahead, ask me. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most.
The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. That's a lot of pets.
True.
They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are.
Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account.
To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/Paula. That's ASPCA. We spell that ASPCA. Petinsurance.com/Paula. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code.
All right. Coming up, German poet and dramatist Goethe wrote, "To a valet, no man is a hero." He was talking about a different kind of valet, but we'll find out if a parking valet has a hero. And Ken Lezebnik's America travels across the country once again. Park your carcasses and get ready for fun when we return on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Hey there, Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is brought to you in part by HelloFresh. HelloFresh makes cooking delicious meals at home a reality, regardless of your comfort level in the kitchen.
I'm not that comfortable in the kitchen, and yet from step-by-step recipes to pre-measured ingredients, when I used it, I had everything I needed to get a wow-worthy dinner on the table in just about 30 minutes.
And I am
that
comfortable
was me.
In the kitchen.
I did it in 30 minutes.
I did in 30 minutes, too. I am comfortable in the kitchen.
That's crazy.
And I was also engaged and entertained and delighted with this result. Break out of your dinner rut with our 17 seasonal chef-curated recipes each week. Easily change your delivery days, food preferences, and even skip a week whenever you need. I love HelloFresh. Here, I'm going to say it.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. Yeah. Look, he's tearing up a little bit. Yeah. No, it is great. It has everything measured out.
Pre-measured.
Yes. Yeah. What do you mean, pre-measured? You thought they sent somebody to your home that day?
Yeah. Yeah, looks like 2 pinches of cayenne pepper. There you go. Oh, wait, let me just take out my little tape measure here. Yeah, that's a... I'm going to call that a half a pound of pork.
Ding dong, who is it? Hello, fresh measurer. Oh, come on in.
They use the word pre-measured, so I thought I would.
You got any measuring cups or those spoons that come in the different sizes?
No, I can eyeball it. Don't worry, I can eyeball it. Oh, yeah, that's about a half a cup of flour you got there.
It's pre-measured. That's
the point.
My favorite part is that it comes, you know, the produce comes with it, and so you don't end up with too much produce that goes to waste.
Right.
And what I found when I made it for myself was that... I did have a serving for my dinner, and then I put in the leftovers in the refrigerator. I had a serving the following day, and it was actually the following day the herbs had, everything had mixed even better.
It
was actually tastier the second day.
That can happen with good food.
It did happen. Yeah. I think that's why a lot of camels like to chew something once and then have it in that stomach for a little while and then bring it back up.
Exactly.
Ferment it and then chew their cud. If you could just get that camel to move back a little bit, I would feel better.
Let the camel distract us from the HelloFresh mission.
No.
Because also it's fun to do with the family. You know, I have a HelloFresh apron at home that my little daughter Vivian likes to wear when she helps me cook HelloFresh food.
Oh, that is nice.
I should post a picture of it on the interwebs.
I have HelloFresh jammies there.
There you go. For $80 off your first month of HelloFresh, go to HelloFresh.com/Poundstone80 and enter Poundstone80. It's like receiving 8 meals for free.
Wow. That's quite a deal. That's HelloFresh.com/Poundstone80 and enter Poundstone80. It's a pattern.
Now, Paula, I'm going to call a little bit of an audible here, because if there's one thing I know about Paula Poundstone, it's that you love twosomes. Am I right?
I do. Frankie and Johnny, the Captain and Tennille, Barack and Michelle. I think the sponsor deserves a partner. Let's do another message from another sponsor. Who knows? Maybe they'll get together and create something beautiful.
Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is brought to you in part by Away, makers of world-class luggage and the aforementioned luggage that Paula was carrying on her train during that riveting story.
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you something. It's changed my life having that Away luggage. It's
Mine
so
too.
Much. It's so much easier. You know, I used to put my carry-on bag on top of my red clothing bag
right.
because my four-wheel wheelie bag was so hard to maneuver.
Right.
And so that was, what do you think, 30, 50, 80 pounds of luggage on one arm.
Right, for an overnight.
And now... yes. And now...
I mean, like, you show up... Like, when you come over for dinner... 60 pounds minimum.
I like to have a satchel of some things that I might need.
Okay.
And now I can put my carry-on bag on top of the, because I have the large Away bag.
I have the smaller Away bag. I love it.
Yeah. And that's enough for you for months on end, the small bag. I can put my carry-on bag on top of the four-wheeler Away bag and just push it. And I'm telling you, it makes life so much easier.
They've solved a bunch of problems, like sticky wheels, and they solved some new problems. Like, we haven't even mentioned that they charge your cell phone. You can charge your phone up to 10 times on a single battery charge from that lithium-ion battery, which I think is lithium-ion, that they have in the bags.
You know what? The large bag doesn't have the charger, and so I can't tell you that I do that.
Well, the smaller bag does, and it's a godsend.
It's
and it's
you?
Removable, too.
Wow.
So, like, you can get it through security, and even better, you put your... You put your Away bag in the overhead luggage, but you've got the little battery that can charge your phone or your iPad or whatever the entire way. You just got it in your breast pocket.
And the small bag is airline compliant. It's the right size to go in the
FAA. Oh yes.
Because is there anything more obnoxious than the person shoving their large bag into the
overhead space that doesn't fit? That
and then
does
the flight attendant says it's not going to fit, and the person goes, "I think it will."
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then you can hear their child crying from inside the large bag.
Yeah. Now we're getting to a weird place. I'm going to continue with our advertisement. You can choose from 9 colors and 4 sizes. All the suitcases are made with premium German polycarbonate.
What?
And they come with
what?
A lifetime warranty.
What is it? German?
German polycarbonate.
German polycarbonate?
Yes.
You know what that reminds me of?
What?
I have a T-shirt that's made of a remarkably soft tri-poly blend. Never even occurred to me to get a German polycarbonate.
Well, you should probably go out there and get one. Maybe you could make a T-shirt out of it.
Yeah. And it comes with a lifetime warranty.
It sure does. And for $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/Paula20 and use promo code Paula20 during checkout. That's $20 off a suitcase by going to awaytravel.com/Paula20 and using promo code Paula20. At checkout.
I just want to say one more thing about Away luggage. When they say it comes with a lifetime warranty, that's not just for older people.
Right.
Yeah.
So buy your kids and even your infant some Away luggage, because somewhere down the road, they're going to be able to take advantage of that lifetime warranty.
Come on. It's just going to be a little... Someday, the German polycarbonate...
industry.
Maybe never. Maybe never.
Yeah.
Maybe there'll never be a dent in that bag.
I don't think there ever will be. According to climate scientists, we have 10 years and 21 weeks until the Earth begins to become uninhabitable. Well, Paula, the camel is eating all of her snack food. I'm beginning to kind of resent him.
Anthony, we could kill this camel and eat its flesh, but I don't think camels are kosher, so that's a problem for Adam.
Yeah, actually, that's correct. They're not kosher. Camels are specifically mentioned by name, actually, in Deuteronomy 14:7.
Yes, and in fact, Anthony, I believe, if memory serves, that text in the King James Bible reads, "Ye shall not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the cloven hoof, as the camel, and the hare, and the coney. For they chew the cud, but divide not the hoof. Therefore they are unclean unto you."
Did you say, and the coney? You can't eat Jim Comey?
Coney.
Oh, coney.
Yeah.
What the...
So I think is a rabbit or something.
People have bagged on him enough. I think.
No. You shouldn't eat of James Comey anyway. I don't know. I think so.
Oh, I never heard that.
Is it a Coney a rabbit, guys? Anybody? Yes, Ken Lezebnik says it's a rabbit. So.
So.
But by the way, just for the record, I don't keep kosher.
What?
I'm an atheist. Like you.
I didn't even realize. You're not like me.
I'm exactly like you, Paula Poundstone.
You're not like me.
That's why you can't stand me, because it's like looking in a mirror.
You're not like me, because I think The Big Lebowski is overrated.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not nothing alike.
We're not the like.
And by that now, I really don't believe in God.
So camels were specifically named in Deuteronomy. How insulting is that?
Well, yeah, to get called out like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, how many animals were around at the time?
Ye shall not around eat of area. Them that chew the cud. That sounds very southern.
Yeah.
Don't eat them that chew the cud.
But camels do not have hooves, so that's so they don't have the cloven hooves.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
The foot of the camel is made up of a large leathery pad with two toes in the front. It has toenails.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, toenails.
Oh, you know what that reminds me when you mentioned toenails?
Look at those nails over there.
And
those are painted, so they're easy to see.
Yeah. I can clip the front claws of my cats, but I can't do the back claws. I don't know. I'm just not skilled. And so they have sort of almost velociraptor back claws. They're really big and sharp.
Wow.
And my cat, Clue, just a couple nights ago, I picked her up and caught my left nipple with a hind claw.
Oh, boy,
yeah, that is a kind of pain.
Through clothing or?
Yeah, that's why I'm asking that camel back up right now.
Yeah.
With those toenails.
Keep your toenails away from Paula's now sensitive nipples.
And I had the coat in the 70s. Back up.
Did it cut? I mean, did it bleed? Like sometimes my cat.
It was
like,
very unpleasant.
Yeah.
It was very, and you know, then later I thought about it. I thought, you know what? I don't use my left nipple for that many things.
You know, here's something weird. I'm on Twitter, and right before I went off into the woods last week, I read a tweet of yours, and it didn't mention anything about a cat spearing you. All you wrote on Twitter, it was a very cryptic, "I realize I never use my left nipple."
No, I think I said I don't use it that much.
That much.
Okay. No, you missed part of the, there was one before
that. Oh, was there one before that?
I did mention
where you talked about the cat?
Yeah, and of course, all these guys tweeted me, "What do you use your right nipple for?" And I would direct you to the last line of Grapes of Wrath.
Which is?
A mysterious smile crept over Rosa Sharon's face.
Okay, guys, so take that. Paula.
Yes?
Despite those experiences on the train that we belabored earlier, how's it going out on the road?
I love my job.
I know you do.
It is the greatest job in the world.
Sure.
I consider myself a proud member of the endorphin production industry. The only part that I loathe is the self-promotion. I hate that. Having to say, next week, I'm going to be at blah, blah, blah.
I hate when I have to ask you to say that. Hopefully we can just have you not
painful.
Do that.
Sometimes I think to myself, what if, and this is a chimerical thought, what if I had a different job? Do I have the skills to be a valet parker?
Well, Paula Poundstone, to answer that question, welcome to Career Corner. Yes, it's time for Career Corner, where we learn about the wide world of jobs. Would you like to be a fireman? How about a train engineer? Maybe you'd like to make a living as a spot welder. What can you do with your life? Career Corner has the answer. This week, let's explore a career as a valet parker. Thank you for that amazing rendition of Hi-Ho there, Ryan. All right, so here to help Paula discover if she could cut it in the stressful, high-stakes world of valet parking is a hell of a driver from Vantage Parking, Lenny Tim. Let's have a big Career Corner welcome for Lenny. Thanks for being here, Lenny.
Thank you, thank you.
Now, Paula, I think valet parking will present a certain challenge for you, and that begins with the word parking.
Yeah, but I'd be a hell of a valet. I'm not a good parker. We had a driving instructor on our show once, and he told me how to parallel park, but I still can't do it, to be honest with you. And just a couple of weeks ago, coming here to this studio, I got stuck between a curb and the car I was trying to parallel park behind. And I was probably, I don't know, 20 minutes of incremental backing up and pulling forward.
Is that going to hurt her chances as a career as a valet parker?
I think so. I think so. Definitely. Yeah.
Do you do a lot of parallel parking?
We do some. Yeah. That's definitely part of the job. Yeah,
I got personality.
That's good.
Does
that's
that mean
a good thing.
Nothing
yeah.
in parallel and valet parking?
That's probably half.
Let me ask you this. Oftentimes, the only reason I valet park is because I can't find a space. And so how come I can drop my car off with somebody who can?
How are you doing this? Are you squirreling away spaces?
I have a theory that it's a Harry Potter Room of Requirement thing. And you do have a little bit of Dobby in you, I'll be honest.
Uh-huh. Something impish.
Yeah, exactly.
So, well, the secret is we actually scout out the location beforehand, and we look for open spaces. We look for parking lots. So we already have that set.
We already know where there's a parking lot?
We know where we're going to park your car for the most part. We know where there's empty spaces. We already have a parking lot.
Do you pay for a parking lot to give you a bunch of spaces?
Sometimes we do. We pay for a parking lot, and they let us use it for the event.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because parking spaces are a little bit, what's that word? There's some liquidity to it, isn't there? So you may think you scouted out the area, and then all of a sudden those spaces are taken, like when the event begins.
So in general, we can't have the spaces that you're going to be parking in. We, the general public.
Typically, yeah. We kind of tell you, you know what? There's no spaces in the area. You got to park with us. We'll make sure your car is parked nicely.
Right.
We find the spaces for you. So, yeah, we kind of know where everything is.
Uh-huh. Now, I was just mentioning, you do this. You don't work at a restaurant, right? You valet park for...
We do private events. We do parties, birthdays, weddings, receptions.
Well, they get more private if you can't find a place to park.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, that's where Lenny's company comes in.
Exactly.
So can you explain to me verbally again how to parallel park?
We've had this explanation on the show before.
Know what? You can't go over it too often. My feeling.
It's kind of. I don't even think about it. I wish I could hear that other explanation that you heard, and then see if I could improve on that. But honestly, you just pull up to the car in front. Line up your mirror to the middle of the car in front.
So the side mirror.
I would say your side mirror to the middle of the other car between the two doors.
So not as far forward as a lot of people go. A lot of people line up their cars direct, you know, right next to them.
I wouldn't. You could start there, but you want to line up the mirror to about the middle of the car.
Okay,
so and then you
to
start
middle.
Going back.
Yeah,
start going in reverse and start turning the wheel.
So you turn the wheel while you're going back.
You're going back slowly. You're turning the wheel. You're kind of getting that back, that corner towards the curb.
Uh-huh.
And when there's a little, you know, there's a little nice sweet spot. And then when you kind of feel like you're at a good spot, you start turning the other way. And you should just naturally kind of get into the space.
Yeah, so when you feel like you're kind of in a good spot.
Exactly. It takes some practice.
I feel like that's not going to be helpful for Paula because...
When I feel like I'm in a good spot.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If I get out and the ass of the car is hanging out and a cop comes over, I'm going to say, you know, I felt good in the spot that I was in.
You could say that.
I will say that.
Things will happen that will surprise you.
Is there, on the ticket that you give people.
Yeah, this is what I wanted to ask about. Yeah, the ticket.
Is there some sort of legal escape hatch for the valet parker?
Yes. It's funny. It actually says, I actually made a joke
funny
about
this. Funny in what
way? So you get the ticket and the ticket says... We're not responsible for, you know, any kind of damage. And on the other side, it says, don't worry, your car is safe with us.
Oh, so, wow, boy.
So
that's
it's kind of funny. Yeah.
A mixed message. Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, we try to do our best. And,
I'm sure.
You know what? I wish you guys would do something different. I don't know if you do this personally, but, you know, when a car pulls up and those tickets often have a little diagram of the car on it and you quickly walk around the car and they check off all the little dings and scratches and dents. That's insulting.
I know.
What do you mean?
I know.
Well, because, you know, my car has picked up a few scratches over the years.
Uh-huh.
And it's like it gets graded poorly. It's like it rubs my nose in the fact that, like, okay, I hit a post at a shop in a parking lot of a supermarket once. And now every time I valet park a car, you've got to do that?
It has to be rubbed.
Yeah, sometimes it's a lot. Sometimes it's a lot of writing, but we have to do it because sometimes we get, you know, people are like, you just crashed my car.
Right.
And it came like that. And then, you know, that's why we started kind of using cameras.
Because of those dishonest people, I have to get insulted every time I valet park. Okay.
But let me ask you something. If you're not responsible for scratches and dents and bumps and bruises to the car, then why do you care if it already had some or not?
That's a good question. I think, well, we are kind of responsible. I mean.
But not according to the ticket.
Yeah, now, but the ticket isn't legal.
Yeah, it's just our way to make you feel better.
Well, it doesn't make me feel better to hear that you're not responsible. All right.
Meanwhile, they're making fun of my car in the ticket.
Is there? Do you have like? Do you have like a gradation of valet parkers so you know there are some guys that are less experienced? And when you get a ticket and you circle the car and you find tons of scratches and dents, you say to some of the less experienced parkers, "Come here, this one's for you."
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. The new guys.
Not? What does it matter?
The new guys go get the scratched up cars.
The mediocre guys, they never get anything nice.
Yeah.
So they don't touch
themselves.
So you're one of the non-mediocre
guys. Adam pulls
guys.
Up and they go, "Another trainer."
No, I'm one of the top tier.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
You know, I'm feeling like we're not getting any closer to whether you'd be good at this because we kind of decided right away. What does she need to learn besides how to park?
Adam.
Well, you want to be, you want to be nice. It's about customer service. Sometimes you don't need to necessarily park. Like, let's say you're a new guy or girl.
Yeah.
We'll give you easy cars. We'll just park them really close, like open space, no parallel parking. So
you just got to be nice.
Just open the door, say hi, welcome.
Yeah.
And, let them come out, close the door and...
Right.
Well, no. Get in.
Let them
close
come
the door.
Out.
Yeah. Let them come out.
Yeah.
Stand there. Make sure they left.
Is that something that you have to repeat to your new guys? Let them come out, for God's sakes.
They do
some shoving them back in the
sometimes
car.
Sometimes they
let
stand
them
in the way.
Yeah. Sometimes they just try to sit on the perch.
Lap. No lap
sitting. Let me ask you something. I mean, being nice is one thing, but is this a do or a don't for a valet parker? Somebody pulls up. And their outfit reminds you of a funny story about when you were traveling from Rhode Island to Connecticut. Takes about 10 minutes. Is that the kind of thing a valet parker should or shouldn't do?
Say again?
All right, so...
Thank you.
Somebody pulls up in a car, and he's on every show. And they get out of the car, and their outfit reminds you of a very funny story you want to tell them, and you just start telling it.
Yeah.
Is that a do or a don't?
Some guys are very friendly. They like to talk and they like to talk to the guests.
And that's okay.
You gotta be, you gotta have common sense. You don't want to say too much. You want to be nice. A little small talk is okay.
Sure. Yeah.
But you don't want to get too involved. You know, they gotta do their stuff. They're going to a party. They're leaving. Right. You don't want to waste time.
I have a question for you, and feel free to tell me if this has or hasn't happened. Have you ever had a valet that had a backpack on? And then they leaned down and a banana fell out of the backpack. Has that ever happened?
A valet
you don't
a
have to answer that. It's a callback to a joke we made, back in the 60s.
It's something that's happened to me multiple times. And so yeah. I just wonder how will like the others I am.
I don't know.
Now, let me ask you this. Because I do have a problem with short-term memory loss. Mm-hmm. How do you recall where the cars have been parked?
So we write it down on the ticket.
We have tickets.
Uh-huh. Whenever we park, we write like up the street, down the street.
Up the street, down the street. That sounds a little vague, honestly.
Miranda left, Miranda right.
Yeah, well, if it's on Miranda, don't think you're going to find it later.
Exactly. That's
Yeah. Have you ever had a car stolen while you...
Because
that wouldn't be a responsibility anyways.
I heard. No, I heard.
You've
I heard.
Heard about
yes,
that
I
when
heard.
You went to the Valley Parker convention, but never
yes.
with your company.
No.
Wow.
No one ever stole a car from us, but I've heard it happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was not fun.
What happens then?
I think they had to pay for it. I think it was an inside job, and I think they had to, they couldn't find the car.
Wow.
And I mean, they couldn't do anything. And like I said, I think it was an inside job. I think the person
it was the valet
had
Parker
another
person.
Key. Not a valet parker, but
oh,
the guest.
You think the guest himself.
Yeah.
The guest stole their own car?
In order
That's
to get
what
another
I heard.
Car.
That's what I heard.
Okay,
this sounds like the perfect crime. If you guys will excuse me,
yeah,
you're too young for this. But there used to be a television show called The Mod Squad, and it was like these three young.
He's in fact,
hip,
too young for the movie of The Mod Squad that came out 20 years later.
Yeah, he's too young for the Smurfs. Adam, when he was a kid, loved the Smurfs.
It's not true.
And he used to try to dye himself blue.
That's not even in the
neighborhood.
All right,
so there was a show called The Mod Squad, and they were. It was like these plainclothes cops that were, they were young and hip. And
those
so
clothes were anything but plain.
The captain would use them for really special cases. And there was one where was valet parkers. But what they were doing was they would when they parked the car, they would then they had a machine to make copies of the keys. And they would make copies of the house keys of the rich people. And then they'd go in. And man, they would steal stuff from the house. And I think it was either Pete or Link that busted them.
And so your question is...
did you ever see that episode?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Because the truth is, and Adam's introduction is correct, which is that you really are trusting people.
Right.
You know, people that you don't know. I mean, you've sat in front of me for a few minutes, and I think I could describe you to a cop if I had to, so don't pull any shit tonight. But, no, usually when I hand my car to a valet guy, I couldn't even describe the guy. It could just be somebody who stood around the corner, put a black vest on, and ran over and took my car keys. Have you ever had
that? Exactly. Have we done that? Have we had somebody do that? No.
Yeah.
No,
have you heard of it at the convention?
I've heard of it, yeah.
Now, she keeps talking about this convention. I'm guessing there isn't one, is there?
No, there is. There's a Valet Parker convention.
We make our own.
Well, let me ask you something. When the Valet Parkers have their convention, I assume that one company gets the business of parking the cars at the Valet Parker convention.
Right.
That's going to be so much pressure.
Right, yeah.
All right, so what other skills do I need to be a Valet Parker? You have to be friendly?
Be friendly. I mean, you got to be able to drive at least a little bit.
Oh, Jesus.
You know?
Yeah.
At least
no,
a little
I can
bit.
Drive.
Well,
yeah.
You have a just student pretend. Driver sticker on your car because you feel that your skills are that bad.
Yeah, but I can take that off and put it on another car. I do. I have a student driver sticker on the back of my car.
Nice.
Because it keeps people away from me.
Yeah.
And that's safer. Yeah, but I could put that. I could just quickly, after I write down where I parked the car.
You can't park and barely drive. Why are we even doing this segment?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Jesus fucks.
Get ready for the miracle of Mega, a comedy podcast from the staff of a fictional mega church.
And not only does he fuck, but he's the best at it.
I'm Holly Loren.
And I'm Greg Hess.
Our characters, Hallie and Gray, welcome a new guest each week, played by some of the biggest names in comedy and podcasting.
Like Scott Aukerman, Lauren Lapkus, Paul Scheer, Jason Mantzoukas, Cecily Strong, and Duncan Trussell.
I just love to think about that, the light shining down on all those corpses in the water and Noah just going by and maybe a mom being like, please, we're running out of energy. Can you please let us on the boat?
It's completely improvised and it's devilishly funny.
Is there any question you have for us about, you know, what it means to live a life in Christ?
I guess, how much do you think is bullshit?
There's a new episode every Sunday.
Listen and subscribe to Mega, wherever you get your podcasts.
Best I ever had. Best I y'all could do it. Y'all could do it. Y'all sing along. You know what I'm saying? Here it go. Jesus, you the best.
Jesus, you're the best.
You to be the best.
Jesus, you're
Jesus,
the best.
You the best. Okay, never
best
mind.
Best I ever had. Best I ever had.
The spread of misinformation has fueled our cultural divide and increased our collective anxiety about the future. Tackling misinformation isn't a simple task, but it's important. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that's dismantling New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis.
On the show, a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic walk into a bar, and the bartender says, no, it's not that old joke. They dive deep into current events, such as RFK Jr.'s involvement in mainstreaming dangerous anti-vax rhetoric. They crowdsource, research, analyze, and dream up answers to the problem with, get this, proven science as their ultimate guiding light.
I highly recommend you check out Conspirituality's fascinating episodes on creating comedy in the MAGAverse with Jordan Klepper or RFK Jr. flirting with body fascism.
And you've listened to a bunch of them at this point, Paul, I know, and you tell me you love it.
I do. They're fascinating, and my favorite part is they use, wait for it, proven science.
And
if there's any kids listening, that's a class we used to take. Proven science as their ultimate guiding light. I love that.
From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality Podcast will help you stay informed about misinformation and help you resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What kind of money do you make doing
this? What kind of money? I mean, we don't
because I'm out $1,000 right now. I don't know if you heard. Frontier Communications. I'm out $1,000. When I heard I might get $1,000, I spent it.
You spent it already?
Yeah, I spent it.
On what?
So, on a new smartphone. So what kind of money can you make as a valet parker?
I would say, you know, a little better than like a fast food worker.
Uh-huh.
But not as good as, I don't know.
A divorce attorney. Not as good as a divorce
not
attorney.
Not as good as a yeah.
Okay, so are there gigs that have better tippers than other gigs?
Of course, yeah.
So which are the gigs that bring in the high money tippers?
You never really know, but you hope that it's the really nice house in the hills, and it's the really high and nice clientele, and there's going to be this person, that person, they're going to have nice guests, so you assume you're going to get nice tips,
right.
But you never know.
Yeah, you know. Yeah,
I would guess weddings yield better tips than say funerals.
I don't remember ever doing a funeral, but I would think
so. You never did a funeral?
No, we never. I never did a funeral, no.
Have you heard about it at the convention?
This convention in your mind, it's like, it's amazing.
It's chimerical, in your opinion. I don't think it is chimerical.
Yeah, I don't think there's a convention.
All right, so you only take the tips then at the thing. Who's paying you for the event then?
Well, the company. I mean.
So if I'm getting married.
Right.
And by the way, I'm
congratulations.
Not.
Congratulations.
But I'm not, and I never want to get married.
You're going to have to wait till you heal up from that.
So, oh my God, my left nipple. So if and the thing is, the added duties on the right.
So much, has to do all the work for both nipples.
If I am putting on a wedding and I hire a valet company, do I pay the valet company?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I mean, whoever, you know, either you or whoever is dealing with the valet company,
Right. How much is it to hire a valet company?
It depends. It depends on the amount of, guys, you know, how big.
What do you mean,
big.
At the party?
How many guests? So you have one valet guy per, let's say, amount of guests, per amount of cars,
right.
Depending on the area. So that's all calculated.
Yeah.
So let's say you have one valet guy per 10 cars that you're expecting.
Right.
And you have 100 people. So let's say you get 10 valet guys.
Yeah.
So you pay per valet guy. Then there's, you know, you could, so you pay that, you know, for example.
And then on top of that, they would get the tips.
So we accept tips from the guests.
Yeah.
You can also tip us at the end.
Oh,
you should.
Oh, should you?
Yeah.
If you hire the company, you're supposed to tip.
Sometimes we get good tips.
Just tuck
those
some dollars
tips.
Into your wedding dress somewhere and hand them over to the valet at the end of the night.
Yeah, house tips.
Yeah, okay. So as a driver, if I were a valet parker,
Which you are never going to.
You don't know, Adam.
I don't know.
So as a valet parker, I would receive both the tip from the person who hired me. And then the fee from the person who hired
hourly
the
rate.
Company, and then the company pays me, and then the tip from the individual car person, and there would be 10 cars for me. That's 10 tips.
Hopefully.
Well, we split the tips.
Oh, so it doesn't matter how many cars I have.
We pool them. Yeah, we pool them.
So if it takes me like... this is good news for me.
Right,
because
it's going to take you an hour and a half to park one car.
I was going to say, if it takes me a really long time to park one car.
Yeah.
We're not going to like that. That's not going to be good.
And I like NPR
People
on the
are
radio.
Be mad.
If it takes me a minute to find it, you know, or to hook up my iPhone to there so I can listen
charge
to
a
my
little
music.
Bit.
Yeah. You want to charge that up in a car.
Do they do
car?
That? Do they charge their phones in people's
cars? Maybe.
Have you heard
sometimes
about
that? Sometimes
I hear
a really good radio station, and I don't want to get out, so I drive slow. I park slow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
So have you ever gotten a car that you don't know how to drive?
Definitely, yeah. Especially starting out. I mean, especially brand new cars, nicer cars that have weird ignition.
Yeah, don't I know
key
it.
Key things.
Yeah,
and
I hate the key thing.
Yeah, there's a button here. There's a button there. You turn this. The
I
Porsches
hate it.
Have it on the left.
Yeah.
All sorts of crazy stuff. That's definitely an issue with newer guys.
Yeah.
They
and
struggle.
Have you had the thing where someone goes into a restaurant or they go to the wedding, they're in the middle of the vows, and then you realize you don't have the keys?
The fob?
Yeah, the fob thingy. Yes, exactly.
Like, for example, they give me the carb and they take the keys.
Right. Yeah. They take the fob thingy.
The trick with that is just don't turn the car if you can still drive it. If it's still on,
you can just leave drive the car
it, park
on.
It. Uh-huh. Just park it and you're good. You could turn it off. And then when they come back, you just note it. Oh, no key. Just be like, hey,
I didn't know you could drive it away without the key.
You can.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you park it, and then when they come back, like, say you park like a mile away, and now the bride comes out, and she's like, oh, here's the fob. And you go, you know what? You get your ass over. It's a mile, and you draw a little sketch, and maybe you have a backpack on. When you lean down, a banana falls out, and you say, you hoof it, little missus.
Exactly.
Wow. Hoof it, little Miss Misses.
Yeah.
You are so ready for this. And what about the Ferris Bueller thing? The valet parkers on a joyride.
You can't run the wheels backwards.
Not talking about that part. Yeah. I was talking about the valet parkers taking that car out for a joyride.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
When you're in an unbelievably nice car, you can't just drive it and park it one. How far are you?
Sometimes you get an opportunity. Yeah, you might rev the engine a little bit, just do a little, go a little bit faster than.
What around
about
the
donuts?
Time?
Do you do donuts like in somebody's?
We try not to.
Yeah,
We try not to. The nice cars, we don't take them too far. We try to keep them in the front, but sometimes we just have to take them somewhere further away.
Yeah.
So it's up to the individual parker.
And what sometimes, they think they can get away with.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
Sometimes if you're trying to park a Lamborghini, you don't notice nearby spaces until you've gone by the beach for a little while.
Yeah, exactly.
I can see where that
it
might
really
happen.
It really helps jog the memory if you go by the beach. Thank you, Lenny, for taking the wheel and giving us a test drive as a valet parker. Paula, what have you learned about being a valet parker, and could you do that job?
Houseman Ryan Wyman, could I get a little background music for... parking. What I've learned, my parking knowledge. Perfect. Could I be a valet parker? Well, now that Lenny gave me a new way to parallel park, back up and turn the wheel until I feel comfortable, I think so. Valet parkers know where they're parking ahead of time. They've done reconnaissance on the neighborhood. The guy dressed like a shrub watching your curb might be a valet. They write down where they've parked the car, so I didn't fear that awkward, I could have sworn I left it near a gray car conversation. If I can just remember to let the drivers out, which I can do with a little song, let the drivers out, let the drivers out, I think I'd be in good shape. I can tell my charming stories to the fancy car drivers, the Bentleys, the Morgans, my Maserati goes 185, but I won't be parking their cars. My assignment will be head in parking the Ford Fiestas that have dents in the double digits. The good news is they pull the tips.
So, Paula, where are you going to be appearing next?
Thanks for asking, Adam. On August 16th, I'm going to be in Hyannis, Massachusetts at the Cape Cod Melody Tent. And on August 23rd, I'm going to be in Lake Placid, New York at the Lake Placid Center for the Arts. You can find all my tour dates at paulapoundstone.com.
Lenny Tim is a hell of a driver and is a valet parker for Vantage Parking. Lenny, thanks for being on our show, man. We really appreciated it.
Thanks, Lenny. That was great.
Thank you.
Speaking of appearing all over the map, Ken Lezebnik's America continues his family's dysfunctional road trip across our land. That's coming up right after this. The cat of the week is Mr. Meowgie from Bartlett, Illinois. And we're back. Thank you, house band Ryan Wyman. This has been a treat tonight. Paula, we get wonderful emails from our listeners, but we got one particular great email this week from Katie Brookhoff. She wrote, quote, I wanted to share my love for Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, and I've chosen to do it through the visual medium of cartoon. Generally, this would have been a bad way to spread the word for something as auditory as a podcast, but because NLPP has so many visual gags that we just can't see, I figured it would be okay. And she accompanied this with drawings, which we'll post on our Facebook page. And everybody should go look at our Facebook page right now.
These drawings are so great. Now, I, of course, particularly love the fact that she salutes the Tri-Poly Blend T-shirts. But my favorite illustration It's from our logo. She's drawn me and Adam sitting at the table. And boy, she has just captured Adam.
Right. Now, I want to point out that on our logo, we only see the top half of my face, not even my nose. It's basically a bald head, some eyebrows, and that's it.
Yeah. But, I mean, she's done something with it.
I'll tell you what she's done
translated.
With it.
She's translated. She's put it through the Katie Brookoff machine.
Yeah,
and
I'll tell you what she's done.
Machine.
No, I there's only one thing that she's done that's readily apparent. Is she's given me goofy crossed eyes.
Well, I'm kind of enjoying that, honestly.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, whereas I have an intellectual demeanor, which I do especially like.
And apparently blonde hair.
Yeah. You know what? Jesus! Is that really spit?
That's spit.
Is that really
camel spit? Yeah.
You know what? You don't spit
back at camels.
All right,
I will not have you getting in a spitting contest.
And we printed out these pictures, and now there's a globula of camel spit right over Adam's head, which is not how Katie intended it, I'm certain.
And by the way, her caption is a visual companion to a podcast that occasionally forgets or ignores that it is an audio medium. She's kind of needling us a little bit there.
I think she's got our number. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean,
and
she's no Frontier Communications.
Exhibit A is Paula makes balloon animals, and yes, I do. It's something I'm good at, and I didn't want to be limited by the fact that there's no visual on the show.
Right.
And so
exactly.
I just go ahead and make them.
Yeah, wait till our interpretive dance special next week. Now, Exhibit B, Miranda Street gets more exotic thanks to Anthony's animal hobby, and it's a really great picture of you and me sitting around this table with various animals flying and creeping.
Yeah. Yeah. She doesn't include the camel because she didn't even know about the camel yet.
Now, I want to point to Exhibit C,
which
is a picture of Bonnie stomping on some bubble wrap. But it says, in Exhibit C, Bonnie is always crinkling so loudly it is distracting, yet we never hear it. And
so
I think
apparently the listeners don't hear the crinkling?
The thing about what we do here in the studio is, and Anthony Alfaro, if he could stop, handling that camel, could back me up. We have we have microphones with extraordinarily short range.
Yeah.
That's why we were always coached to speak right into the microphone.
Oh, yeah. You have to practically make love to the microphone.
Yes,
you have to practically make out with the...
Yeah, you
and
have
there's
to
like a
really...
foamy thing, which right now is dripping with camels.
And I'll tell you, Katie, I suspect the reason we're using these kind of mics is because of Captain Crinkle.
Yeah.
Because all you would hear is like the sound of like somebody fashioning a tinfoil sculpture every week or whatever the hell she does back there.
Yeah, she is. She likes a crunchy food. We all sampled the Mammaglia and it was sort of soft in your mouth, but Bonnie bit it and it made a crunchy sound.
I don't understand how she does it.
It's amazing.
It's incredible.
It's absolutely amazing.
She could play a pillow like a sousaphone.
Katie also has in among her illustrations the five senses of nobody listens to Paula Poundstone. She has the taste, the crispity crunchity nougat only in the original. She's drawn out the butterfingers. She has the feel, the remarkable softness of the tri-poly blend.
Which again doesn't exist. But
listen to the word Pentateuch used in a sentence. See all the places Thomas Coyne isn't in.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And smell the never-before-usedness of the fresh hotel soap.
That you're giving away.
Yeah.
Now, I got to say, for one,
it's
Katie, this is fantastic.
Katie,
we love it. Go to our Facebook page and see this. Also, if you want to start creating fan art, I think we're opening up a whole new vista here. Like, I would love to see myself rendered in superhero form.
I bet you would.
Yes, I would.
Yeah.
Not willing to put the work in, though.
I don't think it's what comes to mind when people think of you.
Oh, I think it is. I think it is.
No, I this camel, I think, would like to see itself.
The camel is staring at me a little weird.
It is.
So if you want to write us, or if you have some fan art or even a theme song for a theme song contest, email it to us at nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com, and you can win a bar of hotel soap. And you know what? Paula, can we award a bar of hotel soap right now to Katie?
Oh, I think we must.
Absolutely.
Yeah, to the KB Artistry.
Yeah.
Please. The good news is that the postage will be paid by Scott Franciscus, ladies and gentlemen.
Be.
Scott Franciscus.
No, Scott Franciscus.
Kindly volunteered to pick up all of
he
our
hasn't.
Business expenses. I've recently called my accountants.
and, shouldn't have.
You know, a lot of figuring out how to divide all the negative numbers of our income has been challenging.
Really alienating our listeners one at a time.
Scott Franciscus, thank you again for paying the postage
fees. Again, he paid for one postage fee because we sent him a prize. Postage due. Inadvertently, but that's what we did.
And apparently he really felt good about it.
No.
He felt like me parallel parking, backing up. He felt comfortable with it.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
All right.
So thanks again,
agree
Scott. Really appreciate
Scott,
it.
Scott, you don't have to do anything. It's full of crap.
Pony up, Scott. Let's do it.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
Ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain. Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it? Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
You know, Adam.
Yes, Paula.
I feel not only do we appeal to all five senses, as Katie pointed out, but
we also
have introduced drama into our podcast.
Yeah, that's right, because Ken Lezebnik's America is sweeping America, and it certainly had a dramatic ending last week. He and his family were being chased out of Los Angeles by the Justice League of costume characters after he mowed down a Batman in a family station wagon. Amazingly enough, I think this week the family's harrowing cross-country trek takes them to another city that you're going to be performing in.
Wait a minute.
Lake Placid.
Oh, my
gosh. By weird coincidence.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, and I have to say, this story is getting a little weird.
It is?
Yeah, Ken Lezebnik's America. It felt like a travelogue at first. Yeah, I do. I'm worried about this family.
I wonder how their little 8-year-old daughter, Nervous Nellie, is taking life as a fugitive. How are she and her precocious brother, Timmy, doing on the open road?
Paula, it sounds like you're saying, let's start the road trip we call... Ken Lezebnik's America.
Mommy, Timmy's doing that thing again where he takes my hand and punches my head with it and then says, stop hitting yourself, stop hitting yourself, stop hitting yourself.
I am not.
R2.
I am not.
R2.
Am not. What a liar. The truth is that Nellie grabbed my hand, then started punching herself in the head so that she can claim I am pulling the age-old trick that allows me to say, stop hitting yourself. But all the while, she, in fact, is doing the punching and trying to blame me.
He's such a liar.
Both of you stuff a sock in it.
But he's the liar.
I don't care who's lying. I'm sick of this shit.
Then you're letting the liar win.
Welcome to America, honey.
Kids, Janice, can we have a little peace? I need something placid for a change. I've been driving for 42 hours straight.
You think it might be time to ask for directions?
No, death before directions.
Does that fucking dog have to pee again?
Make him use the roasting pan the way that we have to.
Can't we pull over, Daddy? I haven't changed clothes in 4 days.
We haven't even stopped for a car wash. There's still vomit on the dashboard.
Thanks a lot, Timmy.
Kids, Janice, we are fleeing for our lives. You think the Justice League of costume characters is going to give up? You see that long black car with enormous fins behind us?
Oh no, it's...
The Batmobile, cool!
I don't care if the fucking Scooby-Doo van is chasing us. We gotta eat. We've run out of the delicious chef-curated recipes from HelloFresh we packed in our cooler.
I miss our wow-worthy dinners.
Look, we've reached a town. Lake Placid, like peaceful. Kids, why don't you try to go to sleep? Maybe I can lose the driver of the Batmobile, which I assume to be Robin, because I seriously killed or maimed Batman. I'll stop and get some food.
Sounds like a good plan.
Janice? Janice? Can you hear me? Janice? Janice? Just... Janice, just in case things go south here.
I thought we were headed north.
I meant metaphorically. If things go south, as in if the Batmobile catches up to me and I don't make it.
What are you saying?
If I get taken from you, either by a vigilante mob of costume characters or by a legitimate law enforcement officer.
Shut the fuck up! That's not happening!
But if it does, Janice, I want you to know that ever since we met in that class at Brookline Community College...
Which I totally fucked up.
It was the wrong fit.
Me and Russian literature. Not a match made in heaven.
But we were. We were. You with your salty Back Bay dysfunctional family.
And you, with all those books and no common sense.
It was almost like a chimerical relationship.
What the fuck does that mean?
Fantastic. Imaginary.
Well, I think you're pronouncing it wrong. It's chimerical.
Oh, well, the point is, we've had a good ride. I did my best for you and the kids.
You were never a great provider. Let's call a spade a spade.
Well, adjunct teaching jobs don't pay, but you never complained.
Timmy did enough of that for everyone.
I'm not asleep, you two. I'm eavesdropping like any self-respecting child does when his parents are finally being honest with each other.
Okay, well, stop with the fucking honesty.
Look, there's Mirror Lake and historic Lake Placid. And there's Adirondack Park with its Center for the Arts. Oh, wow. Innovative comedian Paula Poundstone is appearing here on August 23rd. Wow, we could get tickets.
What's really wow-worthy would be dinner.
There's the site of the 1980 Winter Olympics, the one with the historic Miracle on Ice, where the underdog American hockey team defeated the favored Russians.
Times have changed. We're losing to the Russians all the time now.
Hey, a restaurant featuring locally sourced products from small farms. Can we please stop and get something to eat?
Well, their pork and pistachio tureen sounds good. Oh, what the hell? I'll pull over. Huh, it looks like they only have valet parking.
Welcome to Liquids and Solids at the Handlebar.
You know, I'm engaged in a high-speed chase, so valet parking probably isn't a great idea.
Who's chasing you?
The Batmobile, just behind us. Oh, looks like he's valet parking too.
Cool, I'll take care of it.
Here are the keys. Come on, kids. Janice, let's stretch our legs.
Dude, your car is gnarly.
Oh, there has been some car sickness. My sister Nellie threw up.
Did not!
You should have seen it. Extended projectile vomiting. It was very disturbing.
You're such a liar.
At last, I've caught up with you.
Robin, Batman's crime-fighting partner. You look shorter in real life.
I'm a sidekick. We're all short. But finally, you're within a karate kick.
Dude, I'll valet your Batmobile.
Can I trust you with the iconic Batmobile?
Hey, man, I'm a valet parker. Unlike heads of state, we have a code of ethics.
Okay, Super Valet Parker, take the keys to the Batmobile. It will take just a minute to order some takeout food and bring the mighty arm of the Justice League down on this vomit-spattered American family on the run.
Mommy and Daddy, what are we gonna do?
Uh-oh, a violent attack is coming, and not from Robin. I'm starting to feel sick.
Oh, for fuck's sake, what kind of shitstorm are we in now?
Tune in next week as the adventures of an ordinary family on the run from the Justice League of costume characters continues on Ken Lezebnik's America, brought to you by Lake Placid Oatmeal. When you need a calming food, turn to the oatmeal that sits well on any stomach. Lake Placid Oatmeal. Fewer children vomited up than any other leading brand.
On this day in unremarkable history, FDR said, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself and really big spiders."
One, two, one, two, three, four. Hi, everybody. My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
We're both doctors and...
Nope, just me.
Okay, well, Sydney's a doctor and I'm a medical enthusiast and we create... Okay. Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine.
Every week I dig through the annals of medical history to bring you the wildest, grossest, sometimes dumbest tales of ways we've tried to treat people throughout history.
And lately we do a lot of modern fake medicine because everything's a disaster, but it's slightly less of a disaster every Friday right here on MaximumFun.org as we bring you Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. And remember,
don't drill a hole in your head.
The Greatest Generation is a Star Trek podcast that destigmatizes the very idea of having a Star Trek podcast.
We're Ben and Adam, the hosts of The Greatest Generation, and the technology we've developed is that nobody knows what you're playing in your earbuds.
You know, with legalization, it's easier than ever to find out what's in your buds. But we suggest that you legally find The Greatest Generation wherever you download your podcasts.
We'll send it to you in a discreet, unmarked package, and nobody has to know but us.
That's The Greatest Generation, the Star Trek podcast that you didn't know you needed, yet makes you feel like you belong.
Yeah, welcome back, all you nobodies out there. And I want to remind you to show some love for our sponsors, HelloFresh and Away. For $80 off your first month of HelloFresh, go to HelloFresh.com/Poundstone80 and enter Poundstone80. It's that simple. And for $20 off an Away suitcase, which is not very expensive to begin with, visit awaytravel.com/Paula20 and use the promo code Paula20 during checkout. Paula, you wouldn't happen to have any kind of message this week for the listeners of Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone?
You know, I do.
Do you?
Adam, I certainly don't have to tell you how lucky I feel to get to do this podcast. In fact, I shudder to think of how unhappy my life would be right now if my agent Josh hadn't lost a bet. The only way we can continue to make our podcast, though, is if we continue to grow our listenership.
That's true. We're about growth.
The listeners, the nobodies, as they call themselves, are the very best. But sometimes they aren't sure how to tell their friends and loved ones about the fact that they are Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone listeners.
Well, that's a pity, and we wish we could help you out there. Anyway, let's move on.
Well, in fact, I have written some simple sample dialogue.
Wait, who?
Simple sample dialogue, Adam, that I hope will bridge this troubled water. Try this. Listener's friend. Ah! Swim away! Swim away! There's a shark in the water, and it just ate my leg! Look out! Here it comes! Listener, I'll save us. I'll just punch it in the snout. There it goes. Come on, don't panic. We've got to get you to the shore and get a tourniquet around that leg. Listener's friend. Oh, thank you! Thank you! Listener, what are you staring at? Listener's friend, you! How did you know to punch that shark in the snout? Listener, oh, that. Keep swimming. There's something I've been meaning to tell you. I listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast that's a field guide to life. They often tell useful pieces of information. Paula read Unbroken, the biography of Louis Zamperini, written by Laura Hildebrand, and he learned about defending himself against sharks a short while before he was adrift in the Pacific, and she mentioned it on the show. She also has the funniest story about a banana falling out of her computer backpack. Keep swimming. You're staring at me again. Listener's friend, now you tell me? Not before the shark ate my leg? Listener, Adam didn't think the banana story was that important. Keep swimming. Listener's friend, oh, well, thanks for the tip. I'm going to listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone during my recovery.
Well, Paula, that was a really nice little dialogue there.
Yeah, that should be bringing in the listeners.
Well,
and you know, it's a service. That's the other thing.
It is. The next time somebody's out there swimming and with
shark,
a Paula Poundstone
shark ate
listener,
their leg, and that happens. That's been happening a lot lately.
You know, you kind of like sort of nested a little bit of information in there too. You made this this book Unbroken by.
Yeah, it's a great book.
Yeah,
simple.
As part of your simple sample dialogue. It's like an egg wrapped in an enigma, yeah, it's in a yolk
it's
outside.
It's layered. Thing. It's very layered.
It's very layered.
A lot of my writing.
And there's
layered.
A shot at me.
There's no shot at you. You know what? I think that we are going to watch our numbers grow and grow in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah,
sure.
Assuming that listener's friend actually survives the shark attack. Because
well,
don't forget, we do have a situation where somebody's bleeding out.
Well, fortunately, we have had a first aid person on our show before that told about, you know, cinching up a
tourniquet.
Shark
yeah, we had an EMT worker.
With a tourniquet, exactly.
Yeah, in like week four, I think.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, the more people listen, the more they learn.
All right. I'm not gonna pick that apart. I think that. It's a self-picking dialogue. All right, nobody's. Remember, our email address again is nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com.
And you can find me and Adam on Instagram,
Facebook, and Twitter.
She's not lying. That's our show. Thanks again to this week's sponsors, HelloFresh and Away Luggage. We love you guys. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam Felber. Produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam the same Felber, Bonnie Burns, Ken Lezebnik, and Tony Anita Hull. Technical direction by Ray Horseman and mixing by Anthony Alfaro. Special thanks to tonight's house band, Ryan Wyman. And I hope you'll come back to us sometime, Ryan, because that was just fantastic.
It was great.
And thanks again to our guest, a hell of a Parker, Lenny Tim, who was also a hell of an actor.
He launched his acting career, I think.
As the valet Parker in Ken Lezebnik's America.
Fantastic.
I don't want him to get typecast as a valet Parker, but he was unforgettable.
If they do a remake of Mod Squad, by golly.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll be in that. Because remember, there was an episode where the valet Parkers were making copies of the keys. And
well, I now remember because you belabored that point earlier in this very episode.
I think it was Link that brought him down.
Probably was Link. This week's security muscle.
No, I think that's Mannix. Damn it.
Wow. This week's security muscle was provided by Ben the Aardvark Lezebnik, who also was featured as Robin in Ken Lezebnik's America.
Oh, he was excellent. Excellent.
Transcription services for the show provided by TranscribeMe. For your special Paula Poundstone discount, use code Paula Poundstone when placing an order at TranscribeMe.com.
Mama Liga. That's our show for tonight.
Mama Liga Figaro.
Won't somebody please listen to me?
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.